The following program is a JWC Media production for WrestleChat.net and CLW83.com. This edition of the NAWC is uncensored. For over 6 years, and nearly 300 episodes, the North American Wrestling Connection, the NAWC, wrestling's recognized leader in talk entertainment. And now, CLW83.com and WrestleChat.net present the NAWC, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned by...
My biggest match, though, was against Shawn Michaels. That's okay.
We're going to get to that.
What's that?
You're killing my finish here.
Oh, I'm sorry. But I want to tell you, another big moment was when I signed...
What the hell?
WWE in 2001. Hell, I'm going to the bar, Jim. Let's go.
Well, that was interesting. It screwed my damn script up, they wrote.
I got three Hall of Fame rings. Right. Nobody even knows it.
I'm trying to get back on track here. That was great.
You know, Hogan just had 7 back surgeries in the last year and a half, right? So I go to him, you never fell down in the ring from dropping a leg on everybody. True story.
All right. I'd like to thank Greg Goose for sponsoring this portion of the broadcast. April 2014, New Orleans Superdome.
In New Orleans?
If you could have a match.
Give me the word, brother. I'll get myself ready. And, brother, I can still do it. Don't think I can. Who do I want to wrestle?
Yeah.
It's Cena. He's afraid of me. Cena, you know, the first drink Cena ever had with me. We're in Sherwood Forest in England. And he just won the world championship. And I go.
Robin Hood and Maid Marian had just gone to the room.
Yeah, no, I missed my plane. One tackle drop down. Come off low, buddy. Don't let your beard hit the ground. I'll move. Yeah, here's the greatest. Kurt Hennig goes, you got to hear the story. So, I got to tell the story. It's the greatest. Kurt goes, yes, sir. I'll move.
I've lost control of my truck. My train is running away aimlessly, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, I can tell stories all night long.
I know you can. I say a little longer.
Can I bring me a beverage?
Dance all night, dance a little longer. We're having a... you can see that we enjoy each other's company. You can also see this wasn't rehearsed. I've lost complete control of my job. I'm sure I will never be asked back. And this has probably destroyed what career I had left.
And by the way, I introduced Jim Ross to his wife. We go way back. Charleston, West Virginia. We were so drunk, we're all... I must have looked rough that morning.
Thanks, Rick.
Yeah. I don't think Jim Ross and I haven't tipped a few back over the years. Jer, let's go get a crown. Let's go.
Well, we're almost done. Hey, anybody got, we got like 5 minutes. I need short answers. So that means, Rick, you can lay out here.
I'll tell a story.
No, you can lay out.
I got a 5-minute story.
Consider you on the apron and you're not been tagged in
yet. I don't do good on the apron.
We got that. If you want to see Ric Flair take on John Cena, as Rick has indicated that he'd like to book himself on for April in New Orleans, then you can do that here.
Hey, can I have to break in for a minute? The one thing that's cool is...
Well, what the hell? Why not?
No, because the guys will like this, right?
This makes the television show. Can you imagine what the internet and the dirt sheets are going to say about this shit?
Yeah. I love it.
Well,
Good Lord.
Gentlemen, the key word there for Nate is prenup.
Yeah. Oh, I had a prenup. Didn't matter.
Oh, Jesus Christ, I started that story.
You kidding? I paid $25,000 for a prenup, and she tore it up, and the lawyer that drew it up retired. Can you imagine we're going to be in New Orleans for WrestleMania?
Some of us will be at New Orleans. I'm not sure all of us are going to make it.
And Mr. Ross predicted his demise. That was a shoot, brother. Nobody's going to get fired here at the North American Wrestling Connection as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. My name is Nikki Heyman, and let me introduce the gentleman around the table. First, our man with all the numbers, Stat Boy Josh Henniger.
Pony, 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 pony. Now kick me off!
No, because Jim is not in charge.
Ah!
But I do have advisory capacities on the network, so watch it!
Next, we have our Deep South correspondent, Mr. Chris Waters.
Oh, sorry. Wrong podcast.
Remember, we're recording on the 13th. That doesn't mean we're airing on the 13th.
So, one of those movies happened on the 14th.
Yeah, Saturday the 14th. You can go watch that one and put it on your show. And for a proper fourth, who else but fourth?
I was going to go with a Friday the 13th themed intro, but A, I was beaten to the punch, and B, the intro for this show was way too damn funny.
Funny, sad, true, yes. And conspiracy! As the news had broken earlier this week that JR retired, I have a funny feeling that much of what we just heard contributed to his exit. Stat Boy, JR really hasn't been doing much for the company, just, you know, spot stuff in the round and maybe a round table here and there. So yeah. Do you think he might have gotten pushed out the door?
Yeah, from what I can tell and what I just heard on the intro, there's no way that he just didn't get pushed out the door. Triple H pretty much, I would guess said, dude, you've messed up so badly that you're either going to be shown the door and we're going to fire you, or you can retire. Your choice.
One of the theories is that they did give him that option, Chris, that he could retire gracefully, or they could can him. But they were trying to convince him to retire just so there wouldn't be a whole lot of internet backlash.
Yeah, that's probably. I'm thinking that's really what happened real out there. Because besides the roundtables, and the only other thing he was really doing is, which he hasn't done in a while, was announcing NXT main events. And even though he had that whole thing there, even when he was doing those, he seemed somewhat out of it at times. So I think it's better that he left either way, just to call it a career before they do something even worse to him than everything they've done to him over the years.
Which had led to a comment that I'd heard that, you know, Vince and company had it out for him from day one, given all the memories that he's given us for this business forth, it's hard to think like that.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely seemed a little sudden to have him leave, like I said, considering he started in 93 and basically worked his way up to being the voice of the Attitude Era. So I have to suspect more than just he wanted to retire and here's a gold watch.
I'm hoping that it was at least reasonably amicable and somebody boots Flair in the ass for it. But as you said, JR was pretty much, you know, one of the voices for the Attitude Era. Now, I wasn't watching during the Attitude Era, so I'm going to have to ask, starting with you, Chris, what is one of your better memories of JR? No humiliations here, guys. Please.
Okay. Pretty much, well, of course, there was the Hell in the Cell with Foley and Undertaker. That was a major one. And even though a lot of people didn't like it, I did kind of like when JR was doing his little mini heel run, because he didn't get really embarrassed that much as his quote-unquote client did, which was Dr. Death. And I liked when he brought his own version of the announce table and put it right in front of the other announce table during a match. And that just got
wrong
a kick out of me.
JR is wrong.
Yes. that was hilarious to me.
So, Stat Boy.
More or less, he hit the biggest one on the head. As God is my witness, he is broken in half. I admit, I didn't really pay too much attention to JR, although he did bring up another nice one with JR's Raw. But I didn't really pay attention to the announcers until, I would say, early 2000s.
Okay. Well, let me get somebody in here who does pay attention to announcing. That would be our audio guy. So, Jim, talk to me about JR.
You know, I vaguely remember him from the WCW days, but like everybody else, the first pay-per-view I remember vividly watching was WrestleMania 9. So here
you
I see.
Bastard.
Yeah, exactly. So here I am, his first time out, and he's in a toga. And the embarrassment begins from day one, as I sort of said, half tongue in cheek, half seriously. But just the greatest compliment you can give to an announcer is the fact that they can make or break a match. There were so many meh matches over during the Attitude Era that JR made that much better because of the passion and the wherewithal he brought to the table. He made you emote. He made you feel what was going on in the ring like it was life or death. It was incredible stuff, and I will throw a bone to your dear old Uncle Paul that 10-11 month period, I don't remember if it was exactly that long, but that almost year, we'll say, in which WrestleMania 17 was part of it, where JR was back with Paul Heyman at the announce table, that was some of his best stuff, because they exchanged barbs tit for tat. It was hilarious stuff. If you ever want to see great broadcasting in wrestling, go back and watch WrestleMania 17, because Uncle Paul, your dear old Uncle Paul and Jim Ross, had a field day. And in fact, during the very same conference we got the open from, that press junket, Ross himself admitted that that was one of his high points in his broadcasting career, working with Paul Heyman at WrestleMania 17 at the Houston Astrodome. You know, and going back to the fact of his retirement, which we all pretty much surmise is really a firing, you know, it's hard not to think. I know it's going to sound like a number three for me. Yeah, I'm going number three here. But it's hard not to think that JR, you know, that Vince didn't want JR out earlier. To the points that were said earlier, he had only done some spot work on NXT. He had done some spot work in developmental. And he was brought on for the WrestleMania panel for the pre-show and post-show and what have you. Hadn't called a match in a while. He was only used last regularly for matches when Lawler had his heart attack a year or so ago. I don't know. I mean, this. What irks me is the timing of this, because we are about three and a half, almost 4 weeks removed from when this event took down, and now they act? What took them so long to pull the trigger if they did want to pull the trigger from Jump Street? That's all I'm wondering.
The way I see it is, in any large corporation, even with something with such a direct line to the top as WWE, mm-hmm. I'm sure they were debating on, you know, what they were going to have to do, because listening to that, they both sounded drunk.
Well, we know Flair was more than sloshed, and they have pretty much reprimanded Flair. They pretty much stopped and, for lack of better terms, cut ties with Flair for the time being.
Right.
That being said, one of the other things that makes me kind of chuckle is everybody saying, ooh, I can't wait for the tell-all book. Ooh, I can't wait for the shoot interview. Maybe he'll do one down the road, but that's not going to happen immediately, because JR doesn't want to. He's a loyal man. If anything, that could be described as his greatest strength and also maybe his most glaring weakness. He is a loyal man. He will stay friendly and will not badmouth the company, because after all, he could always be brought on for a one-off at WrestleMania 30. That's not out of the question by any means.
No.
So,
one of the thoughts that we came up with, I talked with you briefly before the show, that now that they don't have to regularly pay JR, they can do these little one-night deals.
Exactly. And, you know, we talked about it before the show, Nikki. JR has been pretty much working on one-year contracts for the better part of the last 7 or 8 years, going back to, I think, his second bout of Bell's palsy, or shortly after that. That was in 99, so a couple years after that. He had been working on essentially one-year deals ever since, and they just, and for lack of better terms, gentlemen's agreements. And it's understandable when he isn't on TV and he isn't being used as the voice of the company. And let's face facts, they don't want him to be the face and voice of the company because of his age, because of, sadly, the way he looks. And they don't want a guy with a cowboy hat on his head, their own creation, mind you, to be the flagship behind the company. At least that's what you think of when you watch your broadcast. They'd rather have the clean-cut Michael Cole, and nothing against Michael. He's not a bad announcer. I'm not going to hate on Cole here. But that's the way it is. And it's funny because they've tried to replace JR countless times over the years. Trying to get Mike Goldberg, trying to get getting Mike Adamley, so on and so forth. And
Joey Styles.
And they haven't been able to do it.
That's because Michael Cole's willing to listen to people yelling in his headset for 2+ hours straight.
Well, he's a company man, and that's what you got to be. And that's what JR was, he was every bit the company man So, at least now he'll have a less stressful life. He'll be able to relax, and I wouldn't be surprised if he tries to work on some other endeavors. He had long said for on his blog that if the chances were aligned, he'd love to do Oklahoma Sooner football. And I know that booth is full right now, but you never say never when you have a legend on the sideline, per se. So, there's so many memories of my childhood and my young adulthood that involved JR's soundtrack. He was the soundtrack of my wrestling life, for lack of better terms.
My introduction to WWF programming was during the invasion.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to hear a little bit of JR and Uncle Paul, and the chemistry was brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Because you had this, laid back country boy, company man, JR.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had my Uncle Paul, who apparently was not given a leash or a muzzle.
Rash from New York, yes.
And it was beautiful stuff. It was really beautiful stuff. The night that ECW joined the invasion meant something. Not just because of my dear Uncle Paul, but during the brawl, Paulie and JR were arguing to the point that JR had finally lost his temper and he says, "I need some answers." To which Paulie replied, "You want some answers? I will get you some damn answers." Throws his headset down and history was made.
Speaking of that, there's another Jim Ross argument that I kind of liked. It was the night that DDP was revealed to be the stalker of Undertaker's wife.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And Undertaker's music hits and the biker comes out and Paul Heyman say, "I thought you said he wasn't going to be here." And just so forth and so on. And I think he said, "I'm going to get Jim Cornette to replace you," or something like that. I know it's somebody like that. And then they find out it's not Undertaker, and Jim Ross says, "Hey, what do you say about that now, big mouth?" And Paul says, "Oh, calm down, Jim Ross, calm down."
He brought the best out of the people he worked with, and he brought the best out of the talent, too. Why do you think he came back on a number of WrestleManias just to call the Undertaker's matches?
That was probably by Undertaker's order, because he's probably allowed to make that call. Because then he said, "Oh, we're going to have Michael Cole call your match."
Who in the hell do you think you are?
That's right.
But now JR is free to jump into whatever he wants to do. And that way, WWE doesn't have to pay him. But he's probably making good money with his, I understand he does talk tours. I know his barbecue sauce business has been brisk.
I've purchased some of the Chipotle ketchup. It's quite delicious.
And sauce it. Yeah. I would hope that, you know, he would continue with his blog, and I'd actually like to see, I would actually like to see a biography from him.
He's got the time to do it now.
I want to see that. And, you know, we can mourn for the fact, but you got to realize JR's been doing this for almost 40 years.
Yeah, next year, as he said in the junket, would have been his 40th year in wrestling. You know, to do something for that long and to be at the top of your game for that long, you know, hell of a ride, as he said himself, hell of a ride.
So, you know, it leaves a bad taste in our mouths, and I'm sure number threes are going to grump about it, but maybe it was time.
Better to go out, you know, on top, for lack of better terms, than to stay around past your prime.
Mm-hmm. Or go to TNA.
Yes.
Which Jim Ross will never do. But it is better to walk out on your own 2 feet like a man than to be thrown out on your ass.
And he was done, and that happened to him kayfabe a few times, as I recall. Sorry, it was there. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. But it could be something that was, I gotta say it right, what was best for business.
Business. People power. Yes.
I'll go back. Laurinaitis.
I'm going back to the engineer booth. I'll be back for pickums maybe a little later. So.
All right.
Good day.
Thank you. So I'm going to use that as a segue to get us over to Raw, where Corporation H was in full effect. We were in Bizarro World, so it probably wasn't going to be hard for Hunter to get booed. Then again, when he's going up against a Canadian hero such as Edge, Stat Boy, was it too easy?
Yeah, it probably was. Oh, sorry, I'm just still trying to shake off the effects of the last 2 days on me.
Not a problem. Fourth, you've got to admit that Edge was at least was matching Hunter mic for mic during his Cutting Edge segment.
I will say that was truly one of the greatest promos that Edge has cut since retirement, if not altogether in his career, because he was not just on, he was just on.
I was also amused, Chris, that Edge got his thunder stolen by having Hunter promote Haven instead of Edge talking about it.
Yeah, well, that's the smarmy corporation part of Hunter. He'll try to, in character, I can understand it, he'll try to get as much money as from Edge doing this as he can, and then when he's done, take him out back and shoot him, old Yeller style, as some people have analyzed wrestlers as being.
Well, the good news is that they can't really do that with Edge, because they know they've got to treat him physically with kid gloves.
Even more so than Bret Hart was treated.
Well, yeah, because if the stenosis is bad enough, you know, I hate to say it, Forth, but looking at Edge the wrong way could probably be damaging.
Yeah, that was definitely one big downside, because I know he can't take any bumps, but I would have loved to see him slug someone out on Monday, but I get if they have concerns for his health.
Yeah, I was hoping for him to come out during the main event and swing a chair at a couple of the Shield members, but what can you do?
It's a chance that they don't want to take, and that's just the respect that they're giving Edge. Edge gets tossed off the show verbally because they can't throw him out. Then midweek, I'll come back to Raw in a minute. Then midweek, Hunter has another sit down where he gets to talk about this business. Fourth, what's best for business is to actually get Edge back on TV, despite the fact he was the one who personally told him to go home.
Certainly very bizarre indeed.
I give it to Hunter, though. That's a hell of a save. I know it was probably written in that way, Chris, but from a corporate standpoint, it sounds like he's saving his own ass.
Yeah. I haven't seen it yet because I just learned about it before I had to go to work, and I got home shortly before we started. But I've heard about it, and it sounds fun that they're having him have to backpedal a little bit, corporate-wise, anyway.
Right, and it's amazing how well they're actually scripting corporate bullshit. It's to the point that when I'm in a meeting anymore, when the corporate bullshit starts flowing, I have to practice my don't corpse, don't laugh. This is serious. This is business. This business.
all while either Time to Play the Game or King of Kings plays in your head, right?
Pretty much. So we get Edge back on SmackDown for another Cutting Edge segment where he shows, I hate to say it, almost uncharacteristic disdain for Orton, given that those two tagged together for the better part of 6 months forth.
It certainly felt weird. I didn't know if any legitimate issue went down with him before the show, but it was definitely odd to watch Edge like that.
But I understand, a little bit kayfabe wise that he would, he's doing that because he figures that he's not going to be allowed to openly mock Randy. But apparently he and Orton and Daniel Bryan got so caught up in the segment that Edge forgot to show his own damn show. Force, did you see the end of SmackDown?
Yeah. I found it to be pretty hilarious. Saw the logo at the corner of the screen.
Mm-hmm.
Then it cuts back to Edge, and I'm like, they forgot to plug his show, didn't they?
I haven't seen a fade back up like that in a while, Chris. I know that Hunter did it once in a promo.
I to be perfectly honest, I've only read the SmackDown things because I was working through SmackDown, and but it sounds funny the way you're describing it anyway.
Well, yeah, it's the show was over, but somebody in the truck said, no, we got to go back on. Edge forgot something.
Oh man.
So, it was just good to see him. I still wish he would grow his hair back out, but that's just me. We had a couple of other appearances. One of the greatest of the doofuses, Santino Marella, has finally found his way back on television, Stat Boy.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, guys, but this is what happens when you work in Walmart. I don't get to see any of this.
I'm sorry. Well, you need to go back and watch it. Not just because of Santino being a doofus, but his match
with
him.
Wait a minute. I've seen a little bit of this. 36 seconds of it, to be exact.
Yes. That giant swing that in Canada gets a holy shit chant.
Yeah.
A giant swing.
And I think that's actually, if I remember correctly, I don't know, I can't find the video right now. That's actually the second longest one of Cesaro's career. I showed you the longest one before, Nikki.
Yeah, with the
it was
Grizzly Redwood, minutes and odd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When he did 100 of them in a row.
And I have a feeling he's actually going to try to do 100 in a row at the pay-per-view, if he can get away with it.
Yeah, he has to essentially do it against a much lighter opponent, because Santino weighs about $180, $190, and Grizzly Redwood, there's no way he weighed more than $130.
Yeah, I'm taller than Grizzly Redwood, and he's skinnier than me. There's nothing to Grizzly Redwood. He's a little guy, little bitty guy. So, but
And the great thing about Santino being back, a small NXT spoiler, he and Emma are going to be tagging up on a future NXT episode.
Funny, I was expecting him to end up with Bayley.
Either way would have worked, but I've seen one picture. I don't know if it's before or after the match. He and Emma are doing the trombone together.
Yes. I don't care how silly it is. That is the most epic of doofus out of Santino, and I demanded it when he ran back up the ramp after defeating Antonio Cesaro, which should be, you know, a little mind blowing, but you know, hey, it's a welcome back win. I'll take it.
The payback win.
If there's one positive of that match, other than the comeback win for Santino, it's the fact that it basically proves that Cesaro has needed and still needs a good push.
He does, and to be honest, I hate to say it, but he's got the real Americans are going to have to break up sooner than later if he wants that push.
Yeah.
Our other big appearance was another remnant of the Attitude Era, Dustin Rhodes, a.k.a. Goldust. And they pulled out all the stops for Goldust. They actually ran, what was it, 4 video packages?
I think it was.
3 or 4 separate video packages covering everything from his early, you know, from his early stuff. If you look quick, you might have saw Marlena, all the way up to the Book Dust tag team, which was deep fried gold in its own right. And some of the messed up crap with Mini Dust. The only thing that was missing was him holding the $1 million title.
That and giving Ahmed Johnson mouth to mouth.
There's a reason why they didn't put that in there. Realistically, though, Chris, did you think that Goldust had a chance in hell of beating Randy Orton?
A very small one, and that would have only been if Daniel Bryan cost Orton the match. But I didn't. But other than that, no.
Statboy, same question. I know you didn't see the show, but you know, Goldust versus Randy Orton shows up. What do you think?
I think that Randy still sucks. Go Goldust. Sorry, that's my bias talking.
No, that's fine. I was a little more irritated when they did the post-match interview that Dustin didn't even get a chance to touch up his makeup because something had wiped half of it off.
Baby oil.
Although that, now that I think about it, some of the early Goldust promos might have used that stuff.
Would not surprise me just how twisted and deranged the character is supposed to be. A character that I really don't think he could completely do today.
I was surprised he did have stuff in 96 that he did.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was good seeing that they gave him a You Still Got It chant. He looked great. So, you know, I can't complain. I know people are going to ask me about that, so I will bring this up. My poor dear Uncle Paul is a wreck.
I was going to say, it looks like he might need to get a bit of a shave going.
Well, the fact that he hasn't slept, he hasn't shaved, he's worried for his well-being. So I understand completely why he tried to essentially fake a knee injury on Raw. Sorry, Uncle Paul, you were faking. If you were really hurt, you would have been screaming a lot louder.
I'm surprised he can still run that fast, though.
To that, yes. The the medical examination in the ring was amusing, and I think Doc Samson is starting to get a little more comfortable being on camera. And yes, as was referenced, my dear Uncle Paul can run very, very fast with a bad knee and one foot in his mouth.
They said he got a doctor that looked exactly like Damien Sandow.
I was thinking it was Colt Cabana in a bad wig and a beard. To which, you know, this was also a highly elaborate jab at Canadian healthcare versus United States healthcare, where somewhere Republican Vince told Punk and Uncle Paul, express my opinion, please. So what did we get? We got CM Punk caning the holy shit out of a doctor. So, you know, I'm all for it. The fact that my dear Uncle Paul is essentially begging for mercy and demanding that people not buy the pay-per-view. The way he's doing it, Chris, it's just like turning to the crowd and trying to tell them to shut up.
Yeah, well, Paul is just trying to do whatever he can to get some mercy given to him, but ain't gonna happen unless something happens, but we'll get to that in Pick'ems.
Yeah, we'll discuss that further in Pick'ems. Now that, let's see, did I get everything I wanted from Raw? Fourth, no kicking cans on cam on the show unless there's something really, really going on.
I'm sorry, my dog just got a plastic soda bottle and he's just going wild with it.
I thought you were having somebody was having a hardcore match from 1999 back there.
No, I just thought Forth was recording his own cans.wave. I don't think there was really anything that made me do that watching the show any of the shows this week.
Although Stephanie McMahon has become even more of a glorious bitch than usual.
Well, you were the one who pointed out to me that a few years ago she'd commented that she didn't want to be on TV anymore.
Oh yeah, you had that on one of your old, there was a mention of one of the old shows that I listened to. I forget if it was the Muppets one or the epic Goodbye to the Old Place one. How she said she didn't want to be on the camera anymore. So,
well, now that the kids are, you know, now that the girls are, you know, old enough to understand the difference between reality and otherwise, maybe Steph's okay with being on camera. And mind you, she hasn't been on that much. Just long enough to give us a few lines of corporate bullshit and trying to do it without busting out laughing because she, you know, she hears it every day. So, with that, actually, I had a very interesting thought, and I know that's dangerous.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Big Show has been one of two major targets of the corporate regime. Daniel Bryan, who, you know, is taking it all in stride, doesn't care. He just wants the title. You know, he may lose his job, but he's gonna do it fighting for the title. Big Show, they've shoehorned in this, oh, he has no money, you know, this is gonna hurt, you know, you need to be listening to us, and then on SmackDown getting suspended for a night without pay. Chris, I'm bringing this up because of some of the comments that came from the table. JBL is taking the corporate side and saying that Big Show is bringing all this upon himself, that he needs to be a good boy and do what he's told. Morals be damned. Are they trying to teach us something? I have bent your brain. Fourth, just a thought. You know, the JBL's taking the corporate side of this and is essentially, you know, saying just bringing all this on himself. You know, what's he crying about?
It's certainly starting to become a very unusual deal in general, the way they're doing it. I'm trying to genuinely figure out at this point if he's going to remain face at this point, or because we know he's going to crack or snap sooner or later, but I honestly don't know what way he'll snap, whether he'll go with the corporate entity or against them.
And so spins the heel face revolving door, stat boy.
Uh-huh.
I don't mean to make you dizzy.
I'm already dizzy as it is, so yeah. This hurts.
Are you gonna make it to Pick'ems?
Yeah, should, provided I don't suddenly collapse.
Please do not do that on my show. I really don't need a Lawler moment to go with this. Ooh,
oh,
he's early.
Thank God. Blah 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 something something blah something something random computer blah.
It's okay. Know.
How did he get the general manager messages on a 2DS already?
They sent
Son
me a
of a bitch.
They sent me a prototype. Hang on.
Along with the Pokemans.
Yes. I have the Pokemans. Look, a Mudkip. congratulations are in order to Trish Stratus, who has been able to do something that not even Triple H can do. She will have a son! To which this young man will win in 30 years' time win the WWE Championship and marry...
Let's go with Vaughn, because she's the youngest.
Continuing a tradition. That's not funny, because it might still happen. Let's see. Ziggler didn't seem to be in all that much danger, despite being destroyed by the Wyatts. It looks like he's actually going to find his way onto the pay-per-view. Make sure Stat Boy has that.
Think I do.
Okay. And Miz wearing Le Mans wig, a shirt older than Miz himself, and bell-bottom jeans is probably the most entertaining Miz has been since he was tagging with Jomo.
although Glenn Gilberti is probably upset about the name he picked for himself.
All Miz was missing was a giant plastic duck.
But then Scott Steiner would come and beat it up.
Scott Steiner's got a court date. He can't do anything with okay. that right now.
And duck, not so duck.
The disco duck, D-U-Q, to which somewhere I wrote quack, 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 K-W-A-Q, K-W-A-Q. But we're kind of straying here. I'm gonna give you a couple of minutes to recover, Stat Boy. Chris, fourth, the vending machines are plugged in and the restrooms are unlocked. Let's take a moment to stretch, and hopefully we will have a conscious Stat Boy for Pick'ems when we come back from these refreshing commercials.
How many websites do you use to get your fix of wrestling news? 3, 4, 5 or more? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1 by going to WrestleChat.net, your pro wrestling news source. Brett Clendaniel and his staff bring you up-to-the-minute wrestling news and views all day, every day. And WrestleChat.net is home to great podcasts like WrestleChat Radio, The Still Real to Us Show, and the North American Wrestling Connection. For the best in wrestling news and views, there's only one site to turn to. WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat. It's where it's at.
CLW 83 Network programming is now available on demand through Stitcher Radio. Log on to Stitcher.com. Download and install the free Stitcher Radio app to your iPhone, iPad, or Android device, or log into the site via Facebook. Then search for CLW 83, and you'll be instantly connected to all of your favorite CLW 83 Network programs. The Stitcher Radio app at Stitcher.com, the newest way to tune in to the CLW 83 Network, online, on demand, and on the go.
Hurricane Sandy left destruction and devastation across the Jersey Shore. Flooding and high winds left many residents without power, without a home, and without hope. With your help, that can all change. Operation Restore Our Shore, in cooperation with the American Red Cross, the Salvation Army, the United Way, and the State of New Jersey Department of Volunteerism, is committed to helping rebuild coastal communities impacted by Hurricane Sandy. To learn more about Operation Restore Our Shore, and to find out how you can help, visit facebook.com/Operation Restore Our Shore.
I actually haven't eaten yet. It's sitting right in front of me.
Oh, boy. Chris Palmer Eats During the Show is brought to you by...
Miami Sub. Yep.
No, it's brought to you by whoever the hell makes Hamburger Helper.
The guy with the hand. I don't know.
1 pound, 1 pan, 1 tasty meal.
You.
By the way, okay. When did the Hamburger Helper hand go through puberty? Can anybody tip that off on me? Because he's gone through puberty.
Oh, he's not, God.
Can you believe you asked that?
No, because... He had a voice when we were growing up that was akin to, like, the Pillsbury Doughboy, and now...
Oh, my God. Soundbite.
You mother...
That's right.
The BS Big Show, episode 200, coming soon.
Back on the North American Wrestling Connection is sponsored by WrestleChat.net. Nikki Heyman here with Statboy Josh Henniger, Chris Waters, and Forth. When we've noticed over the last couple of weeks that Ziggler's been in a little bit of trouble. We thought it was just because of that interview he did on DC 101 just before SummerSlam. He apparently did something else, and I wonder, Statboy, would 10 elbow drops on Jerry Lawler get him in hot water?
Depends on when he did it.
How about at the Montreal Raw?
Fuck, fuck, fuckity fuck, 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 fuckity fuck.
Chris, it's interesting that this has come up, that this is coming up now.
Yeah, you thought it probably... They probably kept it under wraps all this time, but yeah, it's not a good idea when you have a guy that old, no offense to Lawler, and you give him 10 elbow drops, there is always the chance that something like that can happen, and I don't think they were thinking about that when they had the match.
It's interesting, though, that now Lawler remembers this match because he had commented shortly after the heart attack that he didn't remember a whole lot of Monday. And when he woke up in the hospital, he thought he was still overseas. But he mentioned that, you know, he took those elbows and Ziggler was putting everything on it. And he thought to himself, geez, this guy's trying to kill me. To which a cardiologist verified it, saying, and I quote, "The trauma to Lawler's chest from those elbows could have been hard enough to knock the heart out of rhythm. It would start slowly and then would get more and more and more out of rhythm until it just seized up." Fourth, I don't think Ziggler would want that on his conscience.
Yeah, accident or no, that just sounds like a lot of heavy stuff to take in.
The good news, Sapboy, is that Lawler still says he's fine, but this nutcase wants to get back in the ring.
Yeah. I don't know what to say here.
Well, Lawler getting back in the ring kind of reminds me of a story I read somewhere. I think it was the WrestleCrap-ish site before WrestleCrap was introduced called Xavier Doom's Slayground or something like that.
Okay.
And in there, he had a mention of the fact the original Sheik apparently had a heart attack in a taxi. And I'll try to keep talking over the hardcore match that's going on with Fourth's house.
Sorry, the dog again.
But he had a heart attack in the taxi, recovered, and then he wrestled a match later that night.
Jeez. So
some of these guys are just determined to keep going no matter what.
So I'm glad that he's okay, and I'm also very glad that it wasn't Ziggler that put Lawler down for good. But that's something that I don't know. It hasn't made it to TV, so hopefully they don't use this. Then again, we're talking about Jerry Lawler here.
Yeah, I'm still picturing if Ziggler was a heel in the 80s, he would have had a shirt that kind of like the "I broke Wahoo's leg." He would have had "I stopped Jerry Lawler's heart or show or whatever."
Yeah. Just from Memphis, they'd have that in an instant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm, you know, depending on what they want to do with Ziggler, because I still haven't figured out exactly what they want to do with Ziggler. Since they let him come back from getting mauled by the Wyatt family, they can't seem to make up their minds about him. And what is this that has just crossed my desk? Get breaking news very often. ProWrestling.net is reporting, and I quote, "WWE Hall of Famer Shawn Michaels and television show co-star Keith Mark appeared on 810 AM Sports Radio in Kansas City on Friday in conjunction with his appearance at Sunday's Kansas City Chiefs game." .net reader John Aguilata, no relation to Gene motherfucking Aguilera, reports that near the end of the interview, the co-host said, "And Sean's doing great. He's going to be doing some really great things on Raw over the next couple of weeks." Dun, Sean dun, tried dun. To downplay it and said something about how he must be looking at all those Twitter things. So, where is the sound bite that I want?
What are you looking at?
I'm looking at a future Raw honcho, since we know Sean's not going to wrestle.
Possible return of him as his old job, as commissioner?
Well, he did it, what, 99?
From, yeah, I think like late 98 until Mick Foley took over in 2000, I believe.
Although, it sounds like Forth, they wanted to keep this under wraps.
Yeah, given that this is the first I've heard of it, I'm pretty sure that WWE really wanted to keep this as close to their vest as possible.
Thankfully, though, Sean kept his head. Otherwise, we would have had this go off on the radio.
Calm down, Sean!
Don't tell me to calm down! Nobody tells me that I don't know controversy! You gotta be kidding me!
Sean Spears, no!
So, Shawn Michaels on my TV, I approve. As long as he shaves the hobo beard.
You have to keep it. It's just support of Daniel Bryan right there.
No.
It'll be kind of like the masks from for Vendetta. That'll be everybody will grow a beard in support.
Either that or it will be the butt of a new round of hairline jokes from Hunter.
But either way, I wouldn't mind either Sean or somebody being like appointed a job as a authority figure to combat the new regime, as they'll call them, because I have nothing else better. Just so we can have some little balance here. Otherwise, I'm going to have to keep singing, "We never the games, as we is the master race. We hail, right into
no,
games."
No, stop that.
I'm sorry, I had to do that. I was singing that all night.
It's okay. But, well, then here's the trick. If he's going to show up on Raw for a corporate position, what happens to Maddox?
Nothing tells me he'll probably get transitioned into a wrestling role.
Mm-hmm.
As long as he's not a ref again. I've seen better refs.
He'll call his Uncle Eric and learn karate.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, Brad Maddox is more Bischoff than Garrett.
Wow.
Forever and ever, amen.
That's right.
Let's call it Cousin Eugene, either way.
No. Let's see. The net is about this. Yeah. They're not sure what to think about this, so I will not give anyone some glory for that. Our next stop, however, is to a site called Reddit with a W.
Well, not in this case. It's normally Reddit with an R.
Okay.
But because of the certain specific place it is in, it is WREDDIT. This is reddit.com off of their squared circle subreddit.
Okay.
As you guys may know, Stephanie McMahon recently has sold twice her stock with the WWE, both times for about $550,000 a pop. However, recently, or actually earlier today, Friday the 13th, WWE announced they have lowered their financial outlook for the rest of the year, which means there's a good chance that the stock prices are going to be falling down. Now, if you just put two and two together, you would see a bit of a problem here. Stephanie, taking money out before the stock goes crumbling? Gee, doesn't that sound a bit, unfair? Possibly
immoral?
Insider trady?
A only a little illegal.
Yeah, it's the same type of thing. Remember that Martha Stewart got put away for a few years.
And I don't want to see Stephanie McMahon go to jail, although it would be kind of amusing.
Yeah, because that would partially mess up the storyline right now.
And that'd be another nasty, nasty black eye on the Fed.
Yeah, that would be the biggest black eye since, Benoit.
Now, the trick is, who calls her out on it?
I have no idea. I would probably guess it gets leaked out to some other media venue first.
I thought it was odd, but our legal eagle Jason Block had shown me this a couple of days ago that she had been selling stock, but I'd noticed that the stock price had been inching up. Now with this financial news, I am a little dissatisfied. This is something we're going to have to keep an eye and an ear out on, for sure. She might be just doing it for the interest of her children.
Mm-hmm.
What, a little more than $1 million? Maybe that might actually get each of them 2 years of college.
I think in 20 years that'll be half a year of college.
Yeah. So, Stephanie, you gotta watch when you do stuff like that.
Yeah, because I don't think the evil dad wants to be Mr. Mom for a while.
No. The evil boss, Dr. Levesque, has enough on his plate. So, definitely something to take a look at. Let me get some good news out here. Wrestling's back in the Olympics.
Yes! 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 Yes!
Yeah, I read about that happening. Apparently, what happened with that was originally the IOC was going to call them up to try to just talk possible changes for rules and television things and everything, including possibly adding entrance music for the wrestlers in there, so it's more like big wrestling. But they didn't go on there, even with the threat of, we'll take you off, because they said, wrestling's been around forever, so we're going to stay on no matter what they do. And then they took them off. They said, oh, crap, we have to actually do something with this.
And I'm sure there's some purists out there that are gagging at the thought that there's going to be entrance music and lights and pyrotechnics for real wrestling.
Yeah. I didn't see anything about pyrotechnics. I just saw the music, but...
No, I'm just, it's logical conclusion. But they will be back in the 2020 Olympics, to which Kurt Angle has made sure he has done all he needed to do in rehab. As soon as he heard the news, he left. I'm sorry, it can't be a coincidence.
It wouldn't surprise me if he's practicing right now.
I'm sure he's blowing up somebody's phone saying, hey, I'll be available. I'll definitely be available. By then, TNA will be out of business and they won't be paying me anymore. And I don't know if WWE would take it back at this point. But they paid for the rehab. Mm-hmm. Never say never. I think I got all of my news.
What about the one that about that one guy that?
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. Stat Boy, before you pull out the spreadsheet.
Too late. Already did.
Well, keep it handy. We did forget to mention something about SmackDown.
Oh, yes.
And Ryback's interviewing skills with Archie Andrews, or whatever his name was.
His name is Archibald Peck. Robert Evans from Ring of Honor and Chikara.
Archibald Peck, was he related to that guy from the Ghostbusters movie?
No.
Okay.
No.
But I agree with the name Archie for him because, yes, dye his hair red and get him a Letterman sweater. Sign that kid up.
Mm-hmm.
We'll make him a jobber. We'll let Ryback beat him up on a regular basis. Ryback can be his moose. Yes, I'm a comic book geek. Get over it. So, now, Stat Boy.
Yes.
There's a pay-per-view on Sunday.
Yeah, and it's very, sparse this time.
Admitted. Jim, feel free to join us. By his silence, I would presume that he might have his mic open. I can find out.
I'm open.
Pony.
Okay, just making sure.
That wasn't me that said that. That was my
liar.
That was my evil twin.
You Pony. Have no Sim. Evil twin. So what we've got here is what, 7 matches, I believe. 9 points possible.
Okay, and
mainly
I have...
because one of those is going to be a 2-pointer, and then the other tag, no way. It's just too much of a toss-up.
Okay. I have Jason's picks, so I will be announcing those along with my own.
Okay. Now let's get to the one that I care the least about. It's AJ, Naomi, Natalia, and Bella Street Urchin number 1.
Wait a minute, what about the pre-show match?
That'll come soon.
Okay.
Once again, match I care about the least. And I'll explain why. So you want me to go ahead?
Go ahead.
Well, if you guys may or may not know, that total horse, I mean Diva show, technical season finale is Sunday night. Not on E!, but in terms of storyline on WWE itself, Sunday night is the end of season 1. So, I have a very, very bad suspicion that we're going to see a new Divas champion. Why? Because Total Divas, the winner and unfortunately new WWE Divas champion, Bella Street Urchin number 1.
Interesting. Jim.
Let's see. Shucky Ducky Quack Quack versus, oh my goodness, why would Tyson Kidd not do anything when she's almost naked? Versus Odette Butt. You know, I think your logic is half right. I'm gonna go and pull a wild one on you. I think Natalia wins it. I'm gonna give Natalia the championship. What the hey, why not?
As the up-and-coming bride-to-be, it would be only... It sounds logical. Fourth?
Yeah, I was actually going to go originally with Brie winning, but I can definitely see Natalia winning and at least getting a short reign with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll go with Natalia.
Chris?
Yeah, I was just picking Natalia from the beginning of this. Naomi, I don't think is good. She's good, but I don't think she's just ready for the title just yet. She needs to have some more matches. I never want to see Brie with it. AJ was my other possible choice because they might want to stretch this out a little bit. But Natalia got me the points last month, last pay-per-view, so I'm going to go with Natalia again.
I'm going to follow Jason's pick. He picks AJ retaining because we're just getting started in the pipe bombshell stuff. And I agree with him. I don't see them moving the belt.
Mm-hmm. All right, now to the next match, and boy howdy, this will be the doozy. It's the pre-show, everybody. The tag team turmoil match for essentially number one contendership for the WWE tag team titles, currently held by Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns of the Shield.
Yay.
Now, this is very, very, yeah. Because we've got five tag teams vying for the spot.
Mm-hmm.
Primetime Players, Tons of Funk, The Usos, 3MB, and The Real Americans. Now, simply put, who wins? And which team, no, I don't say tag person, because that's going to be very tough to even take track of. Who's the last team who stares at the pretty light?
He still pulled that off pretty well, even though he's sicker than a dog.
Jim, let's start with you.
Well, the Usos have gotten a push. We've seen how well that's done. 3MB is 3MB. The Real Americans are up in smoke. Tons of Funk? I don't think so. So I think it's time. Millions of dollars! Millions of dollars! Millions of dollars! And now I'm going to dance like Rosa Mendez, according to them. The primetime players will get the win over... Now, this is a one-fall match, correct? This isn't like elimination.
This is elimination.
It's elimination. It's elimination. Remember the title turmoil stuff they did at Unforgiven 08?
It's been a while for me to having seen one of these, so yeah.
Okay, essentially it's a tag team gauntlet match. Two teams will start. As soon as a team is pinned, a new team will come out.
Okay. Not exactly. All the teams will be actually on the corners and God knows where else.
Oh my.
With five teams, I thought they were doing this gauntlet style.
They'll put one at the Spanish announce table for fun.
It's being announced as a tag team turmoil.
I'm gonna go primetime players to quicken the pace over the Real Americans.
Fourth.
Yeah, given that Darren Young is still getting them a lot of good press, I actually saw he was on the Ellen DeGeneres show today.
Did he dance?
I think they're gonna. I don't believe so. I unfortunately didn't get to see it. But I think that they're at least going to become number one contenders. So I think it'll be the primetime players over, I'll say Real Americans as well.
Chris?
Okay, I just posted in the chat that, yeah, it is the gauntlet match style thing, according to WWE.com. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow, they changed it on me.
Okay. So, originally I was going to do a wild card thing, but I'm not going to do it. Originally I was going to say the Wyatts were going to be the last team which face the Shield, but then I thought about it and said, nah, they're not going to have them face the Shield just yet. Although that will be interesting. So I'm just going to agree with the primetime players are going to do it. What I see happening is, first the face team will beat 3MB, get them out, because there's no chance in hell of them. Then Real Americans will run through Tons of Funk and the Usos, and then the primetime players will get the win over the Real Americans.
Go ahead and put that down for me and Jason, Statboy. We agree.
Yeah. And for right now, I must go ahead and say break out your brooms. Primetime players are too much of a likelihood to win this. And the last to lose, they're not going to have any face team face them last, and 3MB is too much of a joke. They have to have a face team to face off against the next match. The Shield, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, versus insert team here. Right now, that's all for us, the primetime players. 1 point, who wins?
I will simply say that to keep the corporation strong, what's best for business is to keep the belts right where they are. Shield retains.
Same deal with Jason.
He does not have that pick, interestingly enough. I will try to get him in touch with you to get that.
Make sure he gets in touch with me by, I would say, 7:30 p.m. Sunday night.
I think he's allowed back on the computer
tomorrow night.
Late Saturday, so yeah.
Yeah, as if you people do not know a home, right now, it's a major Jewish holiday known as Yom Kippur, 25 hours of fasting, and no technology.
Please resist the urge to make the joke, Nikki.
I will not make that joke on the air.
Doesn't shun fancy things like electricity.
No, that wasn't it, but close enough. Yeah.
Okay, so that out of the way. Jim, your pick.
What's good for business? Wouldn't it be the Darren Young story getting a belt? No, not in this case. It's the Shield.
Fourth?
Yeah, while I do think that eventually the primetime players will win the belts, I think they're going to want them in pursuit for a little while longer. So the Shield will definitely be retaining.
Chris?
Yeah, I'm trying to decide if I should have the Shield win or PTP win by DQ. That's the trick here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with the Shield by screwy means.
Okay. Screwy.
Screwy. That leaves you, Step Boy.
And, of course, the brooms get broken out yet again. Shield wins handily via shenanigans or no shenanigans. I don't care. But you know that he is going the Shield will win, mainly because you can't have them start breaking down now. That won't happen till Survivor Series at the very earliest. Spoiler alert, at Battleground they'll win again.
Unless they do a War Games match at Battleground.
And then you will mark out.
Yes.
Yeah.
He'll
jizz in his pants.
Next!
Alright, now to a match that's pretty much going to be another broomer. Dean Ambrose versus Dolph Ziggler. Not sure if it's for the U.S. title or not.
It is.
It is.
It is? Okay. That confirms my answer even more so. And if it doesn't for you, you're probably mental.
Let's make this quick. Anybody picking Dean Ambrose to lose the match?
Nope.
No deal.
I'll have to ask Jason. But I doubt he
okay. So Jason sent picks but didn't send picks is what you're telling me.
Well, he was making guesses at what Statboy was going to set up. So.
Ah, well, yeah.
All the matches, including one, yeah. So for us, it's pretty obvious. Dolph Ziggler is, I'm a jobber now!
I'm here to job the world. I'm here to job the world.
Yeah,
job it out.
Yeah, he's had a precipitous fall after the whole No, not because of heart attack. It's because of the pay-per-view before SummerSlam. He loses the title, then he falls down the card so quickly it almost gives me whiplash.
And his comments, as we mentioned, I think on last week's show, to a radio station. And by the way, sorry for the audio not showing up.
Yeah. Good.
Moving on.
Yes. Now to the next one. And the first of the world title matches. Alberto Del Rio versus Nikki's boy, Rob Van I'm gonna lose. Oops.
Oh, man.
Well, and but that's where my wild card plays in.
Oh ho.
The reason Zen Meister's going to lose is Ricardo's going to remember where his bread and butter really came from. Ricardo turns on Rob. Del Rio retains.
And as for me, Del Rio's going to win. No screwiness. Ricardo's not turning. The potheads need to stay together.
Actually, go ahead. Actually, take my answer and put it in Jason's.
Exactly. Tit for tat.
Yeah. Actually,
wild card and all.
I'm going to change my wild card.
Oh.
I'm going to take a chance.
Uh-oh.
Rob wins.
Oh, shit. We know where this is headed.
Lie to bong.
Rob wins.
And then... yep, I knew you were about to say that.
Rob wins. Del Rio gets pissed. Does something to Rob. Sandow strides down and crowns himself champion.
Silence!
I kill you!
I'm going to take that chance.
Nikki Haman, brave little toaster.
Time flies by.
Can I get an auto win for that? No, it's not daring enough.
No.
Okay.
But I like your style, kid. I like your style.
Stat boy.
Didn't I already say this?
Yes, you said Del Rio.
Yes.
Del Rio wins. Ricardo doesn't turn. The potheads stay together.
That's right.
Chris.
Trying to decide here now. Yeah, probably. Even though I want Rob to win. You never know, because they might give him the little fall thank you rant that they've been doing every so often over the years. Like, they gave one to Mark Henry, and last year it was Big Show. You know what? I'm going to take a chance. I'm going to say Rob wins.
Okay. Fourth?
I can see Van Damme winning at least for about a month reign. I could see Sandow cashing in between... the Raw afterward and the Battleground pay-per-view, but for now it's just going to be RVD winning.
Jim?
Your winner and still World Heavyweight Champion, Albert from the River.
Thank you. And I just want to confirm Jason is still going with Del Rio, right?
Jason said Del Rio wins and his wild card is Ricardo turns.
Okay. So there's all that taken care of. Mm-hmm. Now to the second most important match on this card. The one that's been essentially exempt from the corporate storyline. CM Punk versus Curtis Axel and your dear old Uncle Paul. Essentially, it's a handicap match. And is there any weirder stipulations, like cage or something?
If Paul it's Heyman does not compete, he's fired!
And an elimination rule.
Oh, this is the elimination. Okay.
Yeah, this is the elimination rules match.
Yeah.
Okay. So, who wins?
I would like to go first, please.
Go ahead, Chris.
All right. CM Punk versus these guys. Curtis Axel will take the fall. Everybody anticipates Paul Heyman will get murdered out there. But somehow the referee is too busy trying to get Curtis Axel to the back. Out from the crowd, I'm not going to say who because I can't pick one, a new Paul Heyman guy comes in, pummels Punk, and drapes Paul gently over Punk's body to get the win for Paul Heyman.
So, is that your wild card as well?
Yes, it is. A new Paul okay. Heyman guy will help Paul and Axel win the match.
Yeah, so I'm gonna assume the reason you chose a new one is the other one that we all know is not an option, right?
Right, but Lesnar, I don't think is coming back anytime soon right now.
All right.
Go ahead, Forth.
I'm still thinking about what I'm going to put as my wild card now.
Okay. I'll come back to you. Jim?
So, let me beg the question. Lesnar's not healthy right now, or is he busy with other stuff?
He has that contract.
He's busy screwing Sable. What the hell are you talking about?
Oh, my.
Oh, my.
Well, because the winner of this match will indeed be Nikki's dear old uncle, Paul. And I'll just make it the wild card as well. A Paul Heyman guy, new or old, will save the day and be the knight in shining armor for Paul Heyman. And yes, you know what? If you really want me to make it a wild card, Heyman will wrestle in a suit. Is that acceptable on its own as a wild card? Heyman will wrestle in a three-piece suit. Not a three-piece, a vested suit.
If they make it match the paranoia with him, basically they have the suit look distressed and wrinkled and dirty, that would be interesting.
Yeah.
Step boy, I'll leave that one to you.
Nothing suits Heyman like a suit. I think it's just good enough.
Okay.
All right, so the wild card is Heyman wrestles in a vested suit.
Yeah. I put it down, nothing suits Heyman like a suit, so
there
we'll go with it.
There, he's not going to be, you know, in sweats or, if you will, the Big Johnny champion Adidas whatever gear. No.
What, he's not going to wear the black tracksuit?
Exactly. Yeah.
I hope he's at least wearing black pants.
He's not going to do his ode to Flavor Flav, no.
Every time I think of that tracksuit, I just remember that little thing they had with him against Eddie Guerrero, and then Kurt Angle comes out and snaps.
Oh, all goodness. Right. Forth, made up your mind yet?
Yep. Like everyone else, I think Punk is going to eliminate Axel first. He's going to start having his way with Paul. But I think Axel will find a way to get involved and help his manager basically win the match.
Put the same thing down for Jason, Statboy.
Okay.
And you guys are right. My dear Uncle Paul will find a way to win.
Yes. Since I'm guessing I'm last in this one, woohoo! Yeah.
Would you like a broom, sir?
Yes, I would like a broom. Axel will get disqualified much later in the match, leaving it to Paul and Das Punker. However, Axel's disqualification will be the new Paul Heyman guy. And you know what would be kind of funny? If they brought in Punk Light. He's in NXT right now. You know, that Sterling James Keenan guy.
Hmm.
Ah, Corey Graves.
Yes, yes. This isn't my wild card, mind you. That'll come up here now.
Well, I was going to say, this match is in Detroit. I mean, Nikki could, you know, hop a quick flight and then maybe help dear old Uncle Paul out herself. But
yeah.
I could. I'm not needed anywhere till.
Well.
Well, they say Corey Graves. That's one option. There was one option a way out there fantasy option that I kind of liked a little bit better for a new Paul Heyman guy. Someone who was in TNA a couple of months ago. Someone who has history with Punk. One Mr. Luke Gallows.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my.
I would like to see that, but I don't know if they'll do that.
Yeah, I don't know if they do the copyright stuff, but since I think he still has his Aces and Eights vest, if he burned it on the stage, that would just be...
Mm-hmm. That'd be hilarious.
Yeah.
But
my call for a Paul Heyman guy, I'd like it to be Cassius Ohno, just for more Ring of Honor on my television.
Mm-hmm. And now for the main event of the evening. Randy Orton versus Daniel Bryan. WWE title on the line. Now, who will win?
Since I've already played my wild card, sadly, Orton is going to win. It's not going to be clean, but he's going to win.
Mm-hmm.
If I had a wild card to play, I could blame the Big Show.
Mm-hmm.
I hate your guts, Nikki. You stole me thunder.
Well, go ahead and use it, because I've already played my wild card. I can't.
Yeah.
Go ahead and play out the scenario for us, Josh.
Now, as you know, as of the last few weeks, as far as I can tell anyway, because I've been able to watch fuck all of wrestling, Big Show has essentially been made to stand on the sidelines, letting the Shield and Randy Orton reign over Daniel Bryan every single time, except for this last week. Now, as you guys know, momentum rule pretty much claims the one who has the momentum going into the pay-per-view is the one who's going to wind up staring at the pretty, pretty lights. Yes. Now, it's quite obvious that Daniel Bryan's going to lose. Why? Because Big Show is going to get so angry, so pissed off, that he's going to give a nice old knockout punch to Orton, causing the disqualification, and then eventually the Shield come down, beat him down, and all that. But that part, I'm not even wanting to count for, because that's way too much. So, Randy Orton is going to win by disqualification after Big Show punches his lights out.
Wait a minute.
Well, if he punches Orton, doesn't Bryan win by DQ?
No,
because he's attacking Orton.
Yeah.
That's true.
Okay, no, I've got it. Okay.
I was confused by that for a sec, too, so.
Okay. Chris?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the same result. That's all.
Fourth?
All right, it's quite apparent that it's going to be Randy winning, but I think I'm going to use my wild card, and I get the feeling that they will basically go with Triple H manipulating Big Show to the point where he helps Orton.
Okay. Jim?
Blandy Borton is your winner, yes, by nefarious means. And let's just hope Triple H doesn't find a sledgehammer under the ring, because then I'll think about Miley Cyrus. will not be
no.
Balls.
No. This is what's gonna. If Hunter has to go under the ring for something, he's gonna look for a sledgehammer, but he's gonna end up pulling out a shovel.
To which he says, "Yep, close enough."
It's burying time.
It's got a spade.
All right, and now for Jason's.
Jason says Orton retains.
Yeah.
Vintage Blandy Borton.
And that, for now, is the pickums.
The only other way I could see the Bryan Orton match going would be something with Cody Rhodes getting involved, but I don't know how long his honeymoon's for.
How long he gets to bang Eden Styles as a married man? I don't know.
Yeah.
That sounds like something better to do than show up on a pay-per-view.
Yes. But yes, if any of you out there who are listening to this podcast want to chime in with your 2 cents and want to give me your pick'ems, do so before 7:30 p.m. Sunday the 15th. That'd be 7:30 Eastern, not Pacific, Mountain, or Central. And you'll be included. That is, if this show goes up on time. Sorry, Carl.
Oh, wow.
Send your picks to dear old Captain Fatboy.
Where do we
send away to, though?
PKSandman at yahoo.com or find me on Facebook.
There you go. PKSandman at yahoo.com. Send today. Send right away.
And before we get any sillier, This show's become too silly.
Silly indeed, silly.
Mm-hmm. Much too silly.
Get on with it.
And now for something completely different, a man with eight legs.
Eight Zach Cowens? What? No, that's wrong. That's
okay, like I said, too silly.
Silly indeed.
So before we call it a night, Statboy, do you have anything to promote?
Not terribly outside of the episode 50 of Pixel Nation. Should be up by now. Go listen to it. Myself, Nikki, Jason, Brian, and Ivy, we all had a great old shindig. Have at it.
There you go. Chris, I know you have something to promote.
Yes, it's going to be updated either Monday or Wednesday with at least one new episode of my shows. Website is mrcmwaters.blogspot.com, where I review Sonic comics, I review animated shows, I review wrestling media, and whatever will come to my mind. I might have a couple of more ideas to try to increase my revenue through Blip. Right?
Okay, Force, do you have anything to promote other than the fact that we need to go drag Typho's ass all the way over here?
Just two things. Oh, technically three. Obviously, Typho Show, VRM Show, WrestleCraft Sports Digest, and since this is likely going to be listened to on a Saturday, now technically it's okay to go camping, do drugs, have premarital relations, and say you'll be right back.
Not true. The one movie took place on Saturday. The one Friday the 13th movie did.
In that case,
wait
stay
till Sunday.
Strong for a little while longer.
Then just go on the Lord's Day. Oh, that's wrong. That ain't right.
That is extremely wrong, Jim. You'll have to
make
up for it.
It's called a for a reason. I'm just saying.
Shill.
Oh, you want me to shill now?
Yes, please.
Well, first of all, I'm gonna go to hell when I die. Everybody, I'm gonna
go to hell when I die. And Gene fucking Aguilera's driving the bus.
Well, I don't know if it's him or Tom Delgado. I'm not quite sure.
Where was Tom? He was supposed to be on this show.
It's somebody from Brooklyn. Well, you know.
Yeah.
Then again, everybody was supposed to be on this show, and only me and you showed up.
Jason blocks the hood ornament. But you know, folks, so that big bald head moving on.
Hey, no picking on the bald.
Yeah, bald is beautiful, as the kids say.
Thank you.
Touch them all. We are in pennant chase mode. We talk baseball or something. We almost had a perfect game last weekend. One strike away for Yusmeiro Petit in San Francisco, but Hunter Pence came up 6 inches short. And that's the story of the for lunch.
That's
funny. That's
what she said.
Is that code? Oh, my. But we talk baseball. It's me. It's DC Lundberg. It's Ian McClinn. It's Andy Sturm. And we even play a baseball game of Play the Percentages involving poll questions from various outlets and what have you. Or inlets, depending on your prerogative. It's a good listen, so give it a listen. Weekly shows throughout the month of September. Usually posted midweek on CLW83.com. And of course, Player.fm, Stitcher Radio, download the app for the low, low sale of the century price of zippity damn doodah.
And I myself have nothing to promote because I am right here. So, for Jim Williams, for Chris Waters, for Statboy Josh Henniger, for Forth, my name is Nikki Heyman. Please do watch Night of Champions. Do not listen to what my dear Uncle Paul says. Because you know you want to see him get the crap kicked out of him.
Yeah.
I know. I'm going to hell when I die.
Even you want to deep down.
But that'll do it for me. So let's end the show on a good note.
Stay pony, my friends.
You're the purgatory!
Yes!
You've been listening to a JWC Media produced program.